100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. We've survived another year. It's 2016. Duh. I mean, you saw all the specials and you're still writing 2015 on your checks. Do you still write checks? Do you still make that joke of writing that on your checks? What do you put 2015 on? Do you have to get that tattoo laser removed? I don't know. All I know is that it's the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the story. The topic for this week is early, and we got a lot of stories in this week. We got them from Muncie, Jeffrey Fisher, Charlie, Richard, Tom, and he has a few updates. Aubrey. I'm looking over at the other monitor here, and it's like, hey, it's teeny tiny. Maybe I should make it bigger. Welcome to the podcast, Aubrey. Serendipity, Zach Mann, Lizzie, Michael. Hi, Michael. I think you're new here, too. Cool. Hopefully you all sent links to your site so that people can get to know you, and that you introduce yourself at the beginning of your stories. That's important. It's always good to start off on the right foot, or right microphone, or right audio format. There's also Norval Joe, and Tura Bregianu. Let's not forget about Planet Z, out there, way out there, in the cold. So, are you ready for some stories? Are you ready for a new year, and new attitude, and new resolutions? And, fuck it. Who am I kidding? It's the same old stuff. It's just a number that's changed. It gets cold, it gets warm. It gets cold, it gets warm. It gets cold, it gets warm. It gets dark, it gets light. It gets dark, it gets light. Yeah, there are cyclic things in our lives, but cyclic or circular doesn't necessarily mean sacred. Linear time, profane time, things that just keep going. But yet, that gives a sense of the eternal because of the linearness. Where does a line begin and end? As opposed to, where does a circle begin and end? Is it all sacred? I don't know. Nothing is sacred, really. So let's get on with the stories. Here's Muncie.
Greetings, Januarians. Muncie here with a new nickname that makes you sound like awesome barbarians, and, less awesomely, a story. You've heard the nickname. Now here's the story. On Birds, by Christopher Monroe. The early bird, it's been said, gets the worm. The burly bird, then, presumably gets the larger, more muscular worm. The hurly bird, dude, he gets the worm. And the Mr. Furly bird thinks he'll get the worm, but finds out at the end of half an hour that it's all been a misunderstanding. The Larry Moe and Curly birds attempt to get the worm, but fail due to a combination of incompetence and shenanigans. And, obviously, the rural e-bird absolutely crushes worm-getting. Thus concludes my presentation. I hope you found it useful, though I suspect that you did not. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. Thus concludes my first story of 2016, Januarians. I hope you found it useful, though yes, I suspect that you did not.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 506 on the topic of early. I'm trying to recover from having had a household full of guests, and I'm recording this in between my attempts to get the house put back together. My first story is called Early Adopter. Jake prided himself on being ahead of the technology curve. Back in 1982, he sported a Casio calculator watch, an ungainly device with microscopic keys that displayed basic calculations on an unreadable screen. In just a few years, he'd say, everyone will have a tiny computer on his wrist, and it will look sleek and stylish. In 1985, he bought an analog cell phone the size and weight of a brick, explaining to detractors that future phones would be much more portable. Today? Oh yes, Jake still uses technology. He wears an ungainly smartwatch and carries a Samsung Galaxy Note, which, when placed against his face, bears no small resemblance to his Dynatac phone back in 85. Maybe he really was ahead of his time. And my second story is called Evolution. Early man lived in primitive conditions that we can only imagine with horror. He hunted for meat. When none was found, he went hungry. He slept rough, in caves or primitive shelters. He died early of disease or infection. Now, tens of thousands of years later, we don't have to live like caveman any longer. We can use technology to better our lives. But no, you're content to keep our household stuck in the days before someone invented the wheel. Harold, I don't care. You are not spending $5,000 on a 75-inch Ultra HD television set. Make do with the 60-inch. And on that sad note, I will bid my adieu for the week and be back next week with more stories.
Charlie here. I have a quartet of words for you. The early man on the bus kept to himself. He was an ugly cuss. Unfortunately, he had the physical traits of the original early man. A large jaw, a small flat nose with big nostrils, and an enormous brow. He was quietly reading the Times book section, so I figured his intelligence was normal, or above normal. He noticed something on the man sitting next to him. He stared for a moment, then quickly snatched something from the hair behind his ear. The man flinched, but didn't realize what just happened. Early man was grooming his fellow tribe member and catching bugs. 2. Steve was always early for club meetings, church socials, classes, and work. He arrived 25 to 30 minutes early for all appointments in order to get the best seat, the best pastry on the table at AA meetings, and time to scope out all the exits in case he had to make a run for it. When he drove, he pushed his seat all the way forward on the tracks and pressed himself tight against the steering wheel. When the inevitable accident happened, as we knew it would, the seatbelt, combined with the airbag, ripped off his head. 3. The early berm gets the bird. It was not any one person's fault, but the construction team left the high dirt beam in the flight path of the sparrows and blackbirds, and it took its toll. 6,000 birds struck the high berm on their way out of the forest into the feeding areas. The fog was thick, and the berm was constructed ahead of schedule. The birds crashed into each other and into the packed earth. The local construction company apologized and donated to the Audubon Group, taking full responsibility. In grief, Mary the Bird Lady took her life. Earl Lee was a redneck and the kind of psychopath that people avoided because of his filthy mouth and filthier ways. He was a peeping Tom, a wife beater, stalker, and lurker, and spit in customers' meals at the diner. He was as despicable as he was charming, but the charm was short-lived and only used to weasel his way into people's confidence before he fleeced them, borrowed money, or extracted some information about upcoming dog track races. Earl Lee was gang-raped the first night of his 3-month sentence in the county jail and screamed like a stuck pig.
Good morning, Richard here, and the first story of a new year. It's called Perspective. It's all a matter of perspective. For years, my parents, teachers, and mentors criticized my lack of forthrightness and get up and go. Grasp opportunities when they come along, they tell me, throwing in the same old platitudes. He who hesitates is lost. The early bird gets the worm. Not that I paid any attention. My perspective was different. He who hesitates lives to fight another day, and the early worm is the one that gets eaten. So, having seen my friend's businesses fail from rash speculation and foreclosures, I bought them out on the cheap and made a fortune. And I hope that this year will bring fortune for you also. So, have a good one. I'll speak to you next week.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. I missed some updates from last week. Richard passed Zagman with 137 stories to become the 8th Iron Monkey, and Serendipity goes double iron. And my story this evening is called The Best We Can. Too early to be gone, said Jimmy. She was 22, said Sally, which sent her brother into a pool of tears. Perhaps that wasn't quite the best thing to say. She regrouped. Your cat was so lucky to have you as a friend. You kept her warm, gave her a soft place to lie. Wet food, not that crummy dry stuff. She was loved, and in the end, you were there to end her pain. Is she in heaven? Pope says so. I miss her. I know. Jimmy rolled up a towel and gently tucked it under Rasta's chin. Goodbye. Sadness. We lost the last of our great tribe of cats. 15 years old. It never gets easier. Good night, America, wherever you are.
I'm Aubrey Lynn Jepson of aubreylynnjepson.wordpress.com, and here's my story for this week. If I'm 2 minutes early, I'm not really early. That's not how my brain works. Time is money, and time has value, so I won't waste yours if you promise not to waste mine. Get there early. Not 2 minutes before, not right on time, and definitely not 2 minutes late. Otherwise, you are wasting my time and yours, because I can't take you seriously if you don't take my time seriously. Get to the point, or get out now. There are always stragglers who think 15 minutes late is on time. They're jerks. Screw them. Get there early.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week.
You're early.
He said, briefly casting a glance at me from beneath his cowl, before turning his attention back to sharpening the scythe in his hands.
Go back to where you came from. I'll come calling when it's your time.
I squatted down and looked Death straight in the eye sockets. I've come about the job. Death slowly laid down his scythe and waved a bony finger at me.
There is no job. I work alone. Now leave me in peace.
Certainly, I replied. Rest in peace. Taking hold of the scythe and slicing Death's head clean off. My job, now.
This is Zachman. I like that actor, Michael Ealy, you know, spelled like early without the R. I have been looking at some television spots from when he and Keith Urban were promoting my favorite buddy cop show, Almost Human. I was hoping to hear someone say Michael's chosen last name to get the pronunciation right, but I keep on seeing clips where they say how glad they were about their show getting picked up, expecting them to suddenly say, "Too bad it is good science fiction on Fox, so we won't get a second season." Like the YouTube comments from their fans say.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. She was late, and he was furious. When he saw her walking towards him, he forgot all his promises. He wanted to beat her up, make her pay. She always made him do it. Always. As soon as she kissed him, he raised his fist. "You said you'd come early," he whispered. In the blink of an eye, she knocked him down and held him in a chokehold, watching him turn blue. "Please!" He wiggled his legs. He struggled for air. The crowd gathered around in silence. "No more," she said. "He needs to learn." No one called the police. This was my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of www.handmademonkeybutts.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 473. No, let's make that 506, with a prompt of early. Here's my story. Henry was no longer an average pigeon. He had decided to rise above the others and become a red-tailed hawk. Isolating himself from the other pigeons of the flock, he carefully watched the hawks circling in the sky. As he pecked at seeds and small bugs, he watched the hawks drop from the sky like a rock. The hawk fed on rodents and small birds. Henry then knew what he had to do to become more like the hawk. Working in the early hours of the morning before the others woke, he picked his first victim. The flock woke to a murder. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tura Brazino here with a story about the early Christians known as the Desert Fathers, and a reappearance of two characters from a story a few weeks ago. Abba Jerome left his cave to visit his neighbour Abba Gonorius, 30 miles away. He confessed ashamedly, "I have written a book." "If it concern our Lord," said Abba Gonorius, "that is a praiseworthy thing." Abba Jerome sighed. "It began so, but I invented stories of the people around him. Now his life is hardly mentioned, while the stories breed and multiply of themselves. Surely some demon afflicts me." Prophecy came upon Abba Gonorius. "In time to come, it will be called airport fiction," he said. "But do not ask me what that means, for it makes my head hurt."
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
These days, spring comes early. Summer comes early, too. And it stays a really long time. Fall comes late. And winter barely comes at all. The birds are all confused by it. So are the crops and the flowers. We ask the head pilot to change the orbital colony's angle, but they decline our request. The tourists prefer the summer. More tourists means more money, which everyone shares. And We can grow food with hydroponics. The farms are so wasteful, aren't they? Kids want to be physicists, scientists, pilots, hydroponic farmers. Nobody wants to be a dirt farmer anymore. And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories about... What was it about again? Early. Oh, man. The next weekly challenge is going to be on the topic of pound. I hope you come back and join us, whether as a writer or as a listener or as a commenter. You can go to the site, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. If you're new here, hey, where did you find out about this? Who clued you in onto this little secret corner of the web internets thing? Where did I find out about it? I will see you all next week. Until then, there will be some stories here and there. I don't know, stuff that I just wrote off the top of my head. 2016, whatever your resolutions are, why not pick March 18th as the day to do your resolutions? I don't know. It's always a cyclic and linear and sacred and profane time. Whatever it is to you, do it. Whatever you need to get done, make a plan, do it well. If you fail, try again. Get help when you need it. And there you go. Thank you for listening and being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.